mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
And we are live on this Sunday, November 17th, 2019, worldwide broadcast. Hard to believe we've only got a month and a half left until we are already in the year 2020. What an epic number. What an epic political, geopolitical atmosphere we are all witnessing. Thank you again for joining us on this Sunday evening. I know there's a lot of distractions and diversions and a lot of entertainment out there, but there's nothing more engaging and interesting than reality and the animating contest for liberty and the attempt and the ability to even control a small part of our own destinies. This is a particularly big news night, but I think it's really important to preface the broadcast with this. Doesn't the world want to know what makes the powerful billionaires tick? Don't you want to know about who runs the global government and what their plans are for you and your family? What's their cosmology? What's their worldview? What makes them tick? And if you know the answer to that, well, you know the answer to everything. But that's something they don't want you to even discuss or look at. But it's our mission to actually dig into who those people are. Turns out the most powerful consortium of parallel governments, what the group called it 13, 14 years ago when they did a PR push, they called it a parallel world government. That was Bill Gates called it that. And they were meeting in secret locations in New York and locations in New Mexico and locations in the Caribbean. And they were training larger groups outside of the central cult from there. And of course, you know that cult and its maitre d', its master of ceremonies, its hotel manager, as Jeffrey Epstein. And of course, then his girlfriend, whose father had formerly run that job for British intelligence and Israeli intelligence as well. And that's all come out in the news now. You know, I told you about it more than a decade ago, but Epstein was only one player in the larger house of cards that is coming down. And now we see Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, caught up in the spider web. That's all a limited hangout. We're going to be walking through that here tonight. But I was thinking today, getting ready for the broadcast a few hours ago, what do I really want to do here on air? Is I want to tell you about what's coming again in 10, 15, 20 years. Instead of just pointing out all the things I was dead on about, why don't we get into more and more here on the show? What's coming next? Because that's really what everybody wants to know. And, you know, I do know what's coming next. If we let the globalists run everything and don't get involved, I know exactly the destination they're taking us to because they've been quite honest about all that. But you see, there's not just evil in the universe. And if we get informed and involved and engaged, then they're not going to have the capability, despite all the money in the world, all the tea in China, and all the Prozac they want to push on the public to get us to acquiesce to their attempt to control the future and have what they call the end of future. So we're laying it all out today, and we're just going to start from there moving forward. We have two special guests joining us in the second hour. I'll tell you about that when we come back as well. But start your engines because I'm going to be a good boy. And I'm going to cover everything. You know, I haven't had a feeling like this since about 27 years ago when I basically had this total overdriving hunger and compulsion to fight the globalists and really had a vision of what would come. And now I, just in the last few weeks, have been going through that same process, but even stronger for now the new work that is about to begin. Yes, the enemy failed to take us off air, but soon InfoWars won't even matter because the next great creation is about to stand forth. Stay with us.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the InfoWar and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this. this, but you want to fight, you better believe you've got one.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It is Sunday, November 17th, 2019. I am your host, Alex Jones. All right, let me do what I do quite often here at the start of the broadcast, attempt to just tell you what's on the plate here and what I hope we get to. But a lot of this, we probably won't get to all of it. It'll be on Infowars.com, Newswars.com, and of course, Band.video. What a critical destination to visit, and to Paul Revere, out to everyone you know. Let's just start with what I'm going to end the broadcast with, but I will get to it. The Smart City Ecosystem Framework, a model for planning smart cities. Google tells us all about it. And then it ties to this. Fears of 5G weapon system in UK after conspiracy theorist takes apart a light and shows people secret 5G, but still, he's the bad person. Then I thought I'd show you the first known article exposing the 5G by name. 9 years ago, new streetlights do have Homeland Security applications. Infowars.com, Paul Joseph Watson. And I and Paul wrote that article back there 9 years ago. And now smart streetlights to track everything we do all the time. That's 6 years ago. And now a few years later, the sci-fi future of lamppost. Remember when Drudge linked to Paul's article 9 years ago? The media came out and said it wasn't true. We had made it up. Just like I made it up that Jeffrey Epstein was working for international intelligence agencies, blackmailing thousands of government and scientific chiefs. Now it's all public. We know who the players are. We know how they operate. And as soon as you know the real playbook, everything's crystal clear. If you're off here in fantasy land, mainline Republican-Democrat politics, nothing makes sense because it's all meant to keep people all tied in knots. It's all distractionary. The only question is, who's really running the planet? There is a corporate world government. And what is their plan for everyone? And when you find that out, you realize you're living in a science fiction dystopic film beyond any Hollywood movie. And you really get frustrated because it's so easy to beat these individuals if the average man who was successful didn't think that they were successful by keeping their head down. So that's coming up. And then solutions to countering this dehumanization, forest bathing and outdoor therapy and wilderness therapy. We're going to get into all that. A big Wall Street Journal article. When the U.S. tried to control hurricanes, and it talks about Ben Livingston that led the secret program, but they did control hurricanes, and the U.S. government certified it, the U.S. Navy, in 1967. But just everything we told you right there in the Wall Street Journal. I interviewed Livingston back in 2004. He was 90 years old then, still ran a major weather control company. When the U.S. tried to control hurricanes, we'll be getting into all of that. Meanwhile, Chinese soldiers are seen on streets of Hong Kong for the first time. They've been there in plain clothes, but now the tanks have officially rolled in. Meanwhile, Chinese killer robots sold in the Middle East will leave every human dead. Five takeaways from the leaked files of China's mass detention of Muslims, and MSNBC pretty much defends it. Isn't that sick? Hong Kong braces for disruption and violence. Report, China still harvesting organs for political dissidents. DARPA seeks militarized microbes. DARPA says for the first time, really, weaponized microbes? That's brand new? Okay. Guess if they say it's new, it doesn't fall under the old biological weapons conventions because they're not really what you'd call bacterium or microplasms. They're what you call viral, which is only information. And they argue, are viruses alive or dead? Is RNA alive or dead versus DNA? And so the answer is because this is nanotech-engineered microbes, they say it gets around the biological weapons and chemical weapons treaties, when of course it doesn't. It's like a lot of the stuff you hear is vaccines. Oh, it's a vaccine. And then it's actual nanotech, artificial viruses that have been created that replicates and eats part of the brain. Oh, but you'll never want to smoke a cigarette again. Don't worry. Because those receptors are all gone, but those receptors are there for a reason. The nicotine and opium and all those different drugs just manipulates receptors that are there for a reason. Again, that's how this is all interconnected. We're going to get to that. And we've also got all of these giant stacks of news. We have Robert Barnes, really smart constitutional lawyer, who warned Roger Stone about the railroading. He's coming on. Tyler Nixon, Stone's personal lawyer, is going to be popping in next hour for several segments. In the last segment, I'll get into the secret 5G and 6G going in all over the world that we first told you about almost 9 years ago. And we'll show you the proof of that. Like, we were the first to show Google listening and watching to you in 2004 secretly. Oh, and it's in the news today that it's on Infowars.com from their own press release that no one's covering, that Facebook controls your phone, even if you don't have Facebook downloaded on it, and it's secretly videoing you. We'll explain why they're throwing it in your face, why they're telling you that. In fact, I'm having trouble finding that in my stack. Will you guys print that for me again? It's up on Infowars.com. Thank you. And then print the link on there to Facebook where they admit it. So we'll be covering all that. When we come back from break, though, the big story that we have is the main headline on Infowars.com. Why are Barack Obama and people like Bill Maher warning of civil war and saying they don't want a physical civil war? And telling the left, don't start one. I'm going to break down exactly what's going on the other side and tie that into the Attorney General Barr blast Democrat scorched earth campaign to sabotage Trump presidency. All ties together. We're already in a type of civil war, but who are the players? How do we stop it? How do we restore the republic and get things back on a more even keel? It's all coming up today. A lot of big election news. We've had three referendums on Trump: Virginia, Kentucky, and now Louisiana. In all these special races, the Republicans are losing because of election fraud. And I'll explain it all coming up as well. But remember what Professor Robert Epstein, no connection to Jeffrey Epstein, said last year and this year. He had big studies on it, and it confirms everything we already knew. By simply not allowing election notices on Google, Facebook, and Twitter to Republicans, and by not letting Republican candidates have normal discussions and spread info, that automatically doesn't mobilize conservative voters, and you lose every election that way by a margin of about 7 points. It takes about 7 points off on average. Then you get the Democrats' old-fashioned election fraud, folks voting in the names of dead people, which we know they're doing, and it's over. It's over. And then you've got Trump not caring because he thinks that he's so invincible out giving his speeches that that's who got him elected. It's only Trump got him elected. I'm sorry. I love Trump. I want him to stay in, but his confidence is great, but it's also a little bit of delusional. And he barely won despite election fraud. And now they're hitting us with 100 times the fraud. And if we don't address it, Trump's going to lose in 351 days. I told you he was going to win. Okay, and I'm telling you he's going to lose right now. And there's a lot of people are like, oh, don't say that. That'll make him lose. Why are you saying something negative? Because I'm not a cult member. That's why. I'm a trailblazer. And this great audience of patriots built the launch pad, the gantry that launched Trump. And I want Trump to succeed. But Trump rode in on the wave that this audience created and the liberty movement built. And our populist liberty movement taking over part of the Republican Party. There's a big civil war going on there I'll get to as well. My God, we're seeing censorship out of Charlie Kirk and others that dwarfs anything we are seeing from Democrats at this point. College campuses, I mean, it's sick. So it's all coming up today. But why is Obama and his little cohort, Bill Maher, on the same day warning of civil war and saying they want to stop one? I'll give you my inside research take on that when we come back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I am your host, Alex Jones. And I believe in a pro-human future. I believe in a vision of the planet that's based on the greater ideas that our founders dreamed of. They never fully realized it, and neither will we, but it's certainly been a lot better than what other cultures and systems have had to offer. And the authoritarians of the planet are in direct admitted competition with the original American model of the Renaissance and are attempting to shut it down and destroy it. Again, thank you for joining us on this live Sunday program. Please remember that the globalist, or the post-humanist, as they internally call themselves, do not want this broadcast on the air, and any way you can spread the word about it continually isn't just paramount. It is essential. It is critical. Okay. Let me lay it out right now. Why has Barack Obama come out in multiple speeches in the last few weeks, both publicly and privately, to their top donors, a lot of them actual globalist controllers? And why is he saying we don't want a violent revolution? We are on the verge of a civil war. We need to not look so radical to voters. And those videos and articles are up on InfoWars.com. Why is he saying that? Well, for a lot of reasons, but it's good cop, bad cop. Soros and the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, they all fund Antifa and the universities and the systems attacking free speech and every major corporation, Sprite, you name it, you know, Coca-Cola Corporation are promoting parents telling their five-year-olds they're girls and screwing them up as part of the war on boys and masculinity. I mean, whatever you see coming out of the system is what the system wants. So, but they want the general public to think it's just radicals and extremists and a bunch of hippies that want all of this, when this is the globalist plan all along. And so it's come out that the big comedy shows confer with the think tanks and with Obama and Hillary and the deep state. Jimmy Kimmel's talked about it. Others have talked about how they have long meetings every day, deciding what they're going to put on late night comedy, because that has more viewers than all the news shows combined. And people still tend to believe some of what they see on that at 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night when they're drunk. People go into suspended disbelief when that's on. So when you watch Saturday Night Live or you watch any of these comedy shows, they're not comedy shows anymore. They're political, they're weaponized, and they admit they are. That's not even disputed now. So why would you have all these different shows coming out, Saturday Night Live, Saturday, Bill Maher with his show Friday night, Real Time with Bill Maher, is Saturday comes out. I always see clips of it, I don't watch it live. And all these other programs are coming out doing this because they know voters are scared and they know that people understand that they're dangerous, so they're trying to act like that's not us. Now, I know what I just said is elementary. But the next part of it is this. They are planning to trigger political violence very, very soon and blame Trump supporters and blame independent media and call for even more censorship and the takedown, not just of people on Facebook, YouTube, or, you know, other things, but our websites themselves to be taken down, our bank accounts. And they admit that's the plan. So they're planning and winding up more people like we saw at Christchurch, in New Zealand, like we saw in Texas with the Antifa goon going in at the Walmart and the admitted Antifa devil worshiper in Ohio the same day. Those guys were all Antifa. And it came out that they were, but you never saw it on the national news. They successfully covered it up partially in Texas, but in New Zealand and in Ohio, it all came out. Just like the guy, this mentally ill person in Florida last February. Cruz was threatening 44 times to kill people. The police were called 44 times that we know of. The FBI twice. He was on a special program where he was allowed to commit crimes. His last name was Cruz. Had left his program to, quote, not send minorities to jail. He wasn't even Hispanic. Hispanics had adopted him. Both his parents had recently died. The point is just that that's the M.O. And they're getting ready for something really big. So they want to sound like the peacemakers right before it. I've always said when they come out and say, we don't want a civil war, we don't want revolution, that's so they can say, look, we warned of this beforehand before they triggered it. Also, we know there's high-level negotiations going on with the Attorney General and different segments of the deep state to surrender and stop the mutiny and stop the illegal resistance against the duly elected president with all the fake reports they're putting out and the crimes and the illegal leaking and the sabotage of U.S. domestic and foreign policy. But they only negotiate in those meetings that we know have been going on to stall while they're trying to overthrow Trump and to give operatives inside the White House that are double agents the cover to confuse the president and stall him from taking action and demanding that Barr and others do their job. So that's really what's going on here. And this bellwether's weather vanes is a real signpost, a gauge, an indicator, a trigger warning that 351 days out from the election, we're in very, very, very dangerous waters when they start telegraphing this. So first, here's the Attorney General. It's an Infowars.com article if you want to see more of the speech. Barr blasts Democrats' scorched earth campaign to sabotage Trump presidency. This is totally true. And think about the fact that he has to talk like this in America about the Democrats and others literally in the government engaging in mass mutiny against the American people. Here it is.
Unfortunately, just in the past few years, we have seen these conflicts take on an entirely new character. Immediately after President Trump won election, opponents inaugurated what they called the resistance, and they rallied around an explicit strategy of using every tool and maneuver to sabotage the functioning of the executive branch and his administration. The fact of the matter is that in waging a scorched earth, no-holds-barred war of resistance against this administration, it is the left that is engaged in the systematic shredding of norms and undermining the rule of law.
Notice he said it's the left. The left are not liberals. The left tried to take over the liberal movement that was the Renaissance that started 200 years before that. And that's in the history books. The left is a satanic movement that is admittedly satanic. You may have heard of it. It's called the Illuminati. George Washington wrote a bunch of letters about it. They're in the National Archives. You can read them online. Just type in George Washington's letters on the Illuminati. It'll be at the U.S. Gov website. And Thomas Jefferson was the leader of it for a while, found out it was really bad, got out of it. So that's what's going on. That's real history. And the left hand gave you Stalin, Mao, gave you Hitler, gave you Mussolini. Mussolini was actually a leftist occultist. We'll be right back. We're going to get to what Bill Maher said about the coming Civil War.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
late 2019, and the Attorney General of the United States is talking about the Democratic Party with operatives inside the government rebelling against law and trying to sabotage the executive branch at every level they can. There are hundreds and hundreds of articles that I've seen just in the last few days saying damning evidence of Trump engaging in illegal activity, quid pro quo, given at the impeachment hearings this week. And then you read the article, there is no damning evidence. It's just more of the same rumors. And you ask, why are they doing that? They're doing that to create the illusion within the political class that Trump is indeed in trouble, so they can twist arms of Republican senators to go for it, because they've done psychological studies on who they're targeting. And they know that the old senators, average age about 76, right at 76, still believes mainstream media and still thinks it carries weight. Separately, though, they know the general public is sick of this. It had no viewers. They know Trump's innocent. And so Comedy Central and NBC's programs like Saturday Night Live come out and say this whole thing's a giant joke. It's ridiculous. Trump didn't do anything wrong. Why would they do that? To maintain some credibility with their viewers when they know they've gone too far. We're going to get to some of that in a moment as well. And again, they're also on the surface trying to make deals with Trump right now not to prosecute them, because the Inspector General report is coming out and there has been an indictment of McCabe that's been confirmed, because the Deputy Attorney General refused to kill the indictment, which I don't think the Justice Department should have the power to do. That should come out of the grand juries. Once they convene one and once they indict, that should be it. But that's where the power is. And 2 months ago now, they said, no, we're going to allow that to go forward. He is indicted. And that's when all hell started breaking loose, because once that domino falls, McCabe has said he'll sing like a canary against Obama, Hillary, Clapper, Brennan, Mueller, Comey, and the rest of them. So this fight is very real. And Trump's the real deal. He wants good business deals for America. He cares about the nation existing. And he's surrounded by a bunch of cowards and yes men. But the out-of-control behavior of the deep state has been so criminal and so dangerous, and they're not stopping. Other elements of the deep state are now being forced to move against them. So 40 years of stagnation and the political class becoming more and more corrupt, and all these spoiled brat CIA and FBI and foundation bureaucrats at the top who believe they're God and who go on C-SPAN and brag, thank God for the deep state. We're going to remove Trump. The intelligence agencies are. Schumer said that right after Trump was elected on the eve of his inauguration in January 2017. Just a few weeks ago, Brennan was at an event on C-SPAN and they were bragging about it. So they forced themselves out in the open. Do you realize how damaging that is to the globalists and the deep state, that all these decades, there's no world government, there's no deep state, there's no permanent bureaucracy that controls both parties? And now they're losing control of the Republican Party. And so the Democratic Party has been promised total power by the deep state if they can remove the Republicans. And there are a lot of Republicans rolling over and saying, hey, I'll retire early and get paid off by you guys. They're tapping out. They're running for the hills. Record numbers. But record numbers of individuals are stepping into their shoes. The problem is the deep state, the Democrats, are going to pull out all the stops with election fraud, with intimidation, with dirty tricks. And that's why Trump's got to move, and he has to move decisively. Not just with rhetoric, not just with tweets. That is important. But with action. So let's go to Bill Maher, the full 8-minute clips up on InfoWars.com. Here he is on HBO, just I guess last night. And everything's backhanded. Oh, we're so mean to Republicans, they'll work with the Russians. Give me a break. It's the left that's anti-American. It's the left that wants to sell out our sovereignty. So he mixes in the lies, but he says, we don't want a civil war. Well, that's because they're getting ready to trigger the physical one. They do want a civil war. But they want to blame it on us. They're getting ready to false flag us. So remember, it's always the opposite of what they say. If you invert what they say, 9 times out of 10, you will get the answer. So Mars saying, we're about to pull the trigger on you. We've got the sleeper cells ready. Now notice Obama's been giving this speech in private and now in public the last 2 weeks. Now Mars saying it. Now suddenly Sanders is acting like a conservative. Oh, we can't confiscate guns. That's unconstitutional. after agreeing to it a few months ago on the stage. So they're going to try to look reasonable for a few months, hoping you don't have a memory before they trigger the false flags. You absolutely know it's coming. Crazy people they've got wound up, totally staged events. Everybody better be very visual and better be paying attention to everything right now, because the next 351 days are unbelievably important. So here's part of Bill Maher joining the president, former President Obama, in, oh, we don't want to fight, we don't want any violence, after they've amped it up and pushed it. Here it is.
Now, lately, we've been hearing more and more about a second civil war, which sounds impossible in this modern affluent country. It is not. We all talk about Trump as an existential threat, but his side sees democratic control of government the exact same way. And when both sides believe the other guy taking over means the end of the world, yes, you can have a civil war. Trump rallies are filled with words like enemies of the people, human scum. They talk of people to be locked up. Well, you can't lock us all up. Liberals are described as weak, lame, coddling, oversensitive, and limp-dicked. Which are strong words from a bunch of mouth breathers, kickers, knuckle draggers. Bible thumper, sister and roots. Yes, I have been guilty of saying things like that, but I'm going to try to stop, because I've learned that the anti-intellectualism on the right doesn't come primarily from stupidity. It comes from hate. Yeah. Telling people you think they're irredeemable is what makes them say, you know what? I'd rather side with Russia than you. Mm-hmm. Even if the Democrats win everything in 2020, the Republicans will still be here. They're not going to self-deport. They're in Congress, in your office, mm-hmm. sometimes your home. Home is where you learn that the three magic words in any relationship aren't I love you. They're let it go. Let it go.
I didn't pause on this guy. This is all about he's the referee. They stir up the fight. They break down the family. They hype up the racism. And then he comes in as the judge and the juror and the referee and the jail guard, the warden. You know, they divide up prisons according to race. And they play into racial divisions. And then they control you through the leaders of each gang. And that's all this is someone preying on his audience. You know, the truth is, if there was a real civil war, Republican versus Democrats, you guys wouldn't last 5 minutes, and you know it. You've got the losers. You've got the drug addicts. You've got the mental patients. And then you've got, statistically in studies, the scam artists and criminals that control them and feed off them and who use the losers to make us feel sorry for them to have an excuse to keep pumping out more welfare money you use to further domesticate people. No, the truth is, Bill Maher is signaling they're getting ready to launch violence. That's what he just said. Ago, the French government passed a 100% income tax. And I would read those headlines from the Financial Times of London and others on air, and listeners thought I was joking. Well, Elizabeth Warren has proposed a 100% tax on millionaires and billionaires. A 100% tax on capital gains, things like that. Of course, who's lobbying for all of that? The billionaires who want to take the money offshore, want to make sure no investment's made in America. It's incredible. Just like China had a 15% income tax on corporations. We had a 40 to 45, depending on the variant. And then Trump got it lowered to 15, and China went to zero because they want it all to stay there. It's unbelievable. But when you see Bill Gates get up there all the time on the news and go, I want to pay more taxes than Warren Buffett, they put their money in a tax-free foundation. Bill Gates has made over $200 billion since he put his money in the tax-free foundation. he'd only made 50-something billion by the time he set it up. I mean, it's just incredible. Warren Buffett back in the 60s set up captive insurance. I've researched it. Where he's been paid $100,000 a year since like 1965. Look it up. Right after his congressman father died. Believe me, I've looked into it. It's amazing. And he puts all his money into captive insurance and then never pays any taxes on it. I mean, folks, it's just incredible how they scam everybody. But they always tell kind of the lottery ticket type folks. And I'm not putting you down if you ever bought a lottery ticket, but people that imagine this is going to fix it. It's going to be great. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they've all got their money offshore. They all pay almost no tax. And then they tell you how they're liberal and they fund Black Lives Matter. Yeah, well, we're busy hating the cops for a couple hundred black men that might be killed wrongly every year, and it's terrible. There's millions of black people killed in abortion. You never hear about it, see, funded by these same guys. Bill Gates' dad used to run Planned Parenthood. And that's what I'm getting at is, why would they fund Black Lives Matter? Hundreds of millions. These guys put hundreds of millions into it. Because while they're screwing everybody over, they have us have a race war. That's why. These guys are cold-blooded. But who's going to listen to me? The left loves being conned. They love being idiots. Well, let me get back to the big news here. We are in a civil war between globalist forces and forces that want our nation to be America and that want our values, not the globalist values of foreign offshore banks running us and open borders and the breakup of the family and gun confiscation and all the nightmares you know. And the globalists taking their money offshore and being tax exempt, but you can't even take your money out of the country. Obama changed the law where the average citizen can't get their money out now. I was talking to one of John Wayne's sons about that. Out in Wimberley before they left the U.S. like 10 years ago. And he's like, well, you better get your money out of the country. And I said, I don't have any extra money to get out of the country like you. But we're going to Costa Rica. Like your show. We'll listen to it from down there. I was out in Wimberley. Staying at some friend's house next door. And said, oh, that's John Wayne's son over there. Oh, it's John Wayne's son. But the point is that the money's gone, folks. It left. The ultra-rich don't pay taxes. They just get the general public to pay it, and they siphon it off. I'm going to stop right there. We're on the verge of a hot civil war in this country. The globalists know they're losing it, so they want to go ahead and kick one off to destabilize things. And just as sure as the sun came up, they're going to stage false flag attacks, just like Clinton did in 95 with Oklahoma City, which he credited with getting him elected the next year. Look it up. Bill Clinton credited Oklahoma City bombing with re-election. He was 15 points behind, even in their fake polls, probably 30 points behind. But by the time that happened, he won. So why are they so scared right now? Their fake impeachment's failing. Trump's real approval rating's sky high. But there's a problem. Trump hasn't backed up people persecuted by the deep state, threatened, sued, attacked, their families attacked. So it's open season on the Republican leadership, on the Senate, on House members that have been shot, that have had their ribs broken. And a lot of them aren't like Scalise or Rand Paul that'll get more hardcore under attack. They're not all like Alex Jones, more hardcore under attack. A lot of folks quietly sell out. And it's Trump's not pardoning Assange, and so far not pardoning Roger Stone and things like that, that will be his undoing, not standing up for his most hardcore supporters and doing his duty. And I'm not even mad at Trump. I'm saying Trump needs to stand up to this and the election fraud and the rest of it now. They know Trump and the Justice Department are close to action because they just know that the alternative is just too dangerous for everything. A big part of the establishment realizes that this needs to be stopped. There's a civil war in the establishment. That's what's really going on. But there's a lot of indecision because most of these people didn't make their money. They got it from their great-great-grandpas. And they're almost all into Satanism. They're all incredibly screwed up. Pedophilia is just run-of-the-mill. That's all coming out. And this is an establishment in crisis. The level of mental illness, the inbreeding, it's just stratospherically dangerous. And they've got so much money to pump into media to weaponize the population in a hope to drive Trump from power. And all it's done is set the country on course for a civil war. So they're trying to convince themselves how triggering the civil war, how they're going to be able to sit it out and somehow win. And I just don't think that's the case. They are going to destroy their entire power structure. And in the process, maybe the whole planet. So it's a very dangerous time to be alive. Let's play a little bit of this Saturday Night Live piece. And then the full thing's on InfoWars.com, but here it is.
This week, 13 million Americans tuned in to watch the impeachment hearings as multiple officials testified against President Trump. But some complained the hearings were lacking in pizzazz, dull, and not The Masked Singer. So to make sure people are paying attention, we now present the hearings in a way that underscores how scandalous these revelations really are. This is
Days of Our Impeachment, where the only thing at stake is democracy. Starring Adam Schiff.
Excitement, emotion, and none of it from me.
Cross-examiner with a mysterious brain injury, Jim Jordan.
I've got my sleeves rolled up because my job is yelling at a woman.
Former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch.
Why did Trump come after me? I committed the ultimate sin. I was good at my job.
And John Hamm as career diplomat Bill Taylor.
I don't just kiss and tell. I kiss and tell and I take notes.
Like tweets through your timeline, this is Days of Our Impeachment.
Order in the chamber. Ambassador Yovanovitch, your opening statement.
Thank you, Chairman Schiff, if that is your real name.
It is.
Okay, great. I'm only here today because I was a target of a smear campaign by President Trump and Rudy Giuliani that left me publicly humiliated and without a job.
Oh, enough! Enough! This witness is clearly here because she loves attention!
Oh, yeah. I love the glamour and the spotlight. That's why I spent my career in Ukraine and Somalia.
Funny you should mention Somalia, because the president...
It's right behind me? Is that why you look so shocked?
No, this is just how my eyes look. The president just sent a tweet.
A tweet?
Let the record show that the president is intimidating the witness.
Intimidating? If the president wanted to intimidate you, he'd shoot you in the face in the middle of Fifth Avenue.
Okay, and then would you impeach him?
Well, I'd have to look at the facts, but no.
Not so fast.
Bill Taylor!
What are you doing here?
Unlike other people in the Trump administration, I show up. And I have a bombshell revelation. There was a second phone call.
A second phone call?
That's right. You knew about the first call, but no one expected phone call number two.
Did someone say unexpected number two?
Rudy Giuliani.
Let's stop right there. And of course, it's boring. It's not even really funny, but they just go on to admit there's nothing there. Why are they doing that? Because they know it didn't sell. It didn't work. They know that no one's buying it except the people that are still in their cult. So why are they acting like this? To make you go back to sleep, think everything's okay, while they dig up the next big lie they're going to bring forward in the ongoing impeachment process. It'll be the president's mental health, taxes, women saying he raped them. You're going to see it all because these people are all just puppets. They've got powerful globalists telling them what to do. Hour number two, straight ahead.
The front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
The power doesn't come from me. I could feel God's spirit like a wind, a hurricane, through my sails. It's scary as the ship slams through the waves faster and faster. Lightning and the rain going down sideways. Flashes. Sails. About to bust. They never do. Not until the heart blows into 100 pieces. And the earth suit cuts off. And the spirit leaves. All right. Let's get into this little piece of news ahead of Barnes joining us. And we have another lawyer, Roger Stone's lawyer, popping in with us. And then in the last segment, I'm going to hit the big 5G, 6G news and the latest that's come out on it that's so important, how it ties into Facebook spying on you. But let me play Dan Rather. You'll notice when you hear him, it's the same thing we've heard from Tom Brokaw. It's the same thing we've heard from all these other guys. They've gotten out of mothballs thinking, well, they're not listening to our new experts. Let's roll out some other talking heads. And they talk about, oh, the truth's closing in. Oh, the walls are closing in. We've been hearing this for 3 years. They're given the same scripts over and over again. Here it is.
It's become increasingly apparent that truth is closing in. Truth does matter. And there's been this feeling for a long time that, well, the White House, with this alternate narrative, a false narrative, and with its allies in primetime on Fox, was at least in a standoff with truth. I think what we've seen over the last few days, as I say, truth is beginning to close in. Facts are beginning to matter.
You said the other day, I have covered many cults. Some end with a bang, others with a whimper, but they invariably end. The question is how much damage they leave in their wake. Is Mitch McConnell part of the Trump cult?
Yes. I think the short answer is yes. And I'm not the only one making this observation that increasingly President Trump's support seems cultish. It's all about him. It's not about the policy. It's not about the standards of politics. You know, Ronald Reagan had a very solid following. But he stood for something in terms of policy. Franklin Roosevelt, the same way. That these cults, cults generally don't end well.
Cults don't generally end well. See the full video at Infowars.com and Newswars.com. I mean, nothing against old people. I love old people. But what is it about Dan Rather, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden? They can't talk. I mean, they've definitely had strokes in and around the language centers of the brain. Talk about a cult. Talk about a dying globalist deep state cult that thinks it just owns the country and owns everybody else. Like, here they are bragging on C-SPAN with Brennan about, thank God for the deep state that Dan Rather used to say didn't exist. Here it is.
Agree that now the impeachment inquiry is underway, sparked by a complaint from someone within the intelligence community. Feeds the president's concern and often used term about a deep state being there to take him out.
Thank God for the deep state.
Oh, yeah, thank God. Back that up 20 seconds, please. Look at the look of your TV viewer. Brennan is seething with hate, acting powerful in front of a room of blue blood Ivy League spooks that never killed anybody. They, you know, in the military and overseas, they've got the area where the spooks are at with caviar and lobster and filet mignon, and then all the special operations troops that are all worked to death like horses, out of Animal Farm. And literally, I mean, the deep staters are mutilating their children, having their genitals cut off. That's how they get around, have pedophilia openly. Pedophiles just, have sex with a kid. They actually chop their children's genitals off. Oh, you ought to know about these people, folks. They're incredible. They are a Satan cult, but they're all wimps. They just want to hurt kids. And then they all act powerful, though. And Brennan's up there seething like a demon in front of him, I'm powerful. I'm somebody. No, you're not, Brennan. You're going to hell.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this November 17th, 2019 Global Transmission. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to have constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes on and Roger Stone's personal lawyer, Tyler Nixon, on as well here in just a moment to talk about the draconian show trial that we just saw complete its course on Friday. We'll be breaking it all down here in just a moment. But first off, there were some stories Friday that I meant to get to on the show. And then after the broadcast, I looked at the news and I went and did some more research. And I just thought, I've got to bring this to the people. I've got to talk about this on air. Look at this headline. Plastic additives, stress during late pregnancy, boost risk of premature birth. And then it goes into the additives in synthetic skin creams and women's products. This is in major studies that are triggering early birth and the death of many, many children. And you can go read the big studies that have come out breaking all of this down. Now, we've talked about this for a long time, but this is from the Occupational Health Science Institutes. And it shows just how deadly this is, how estrogen mimickers in products are just wrecking women and wrecking their babies. And we know they're wrecking men. They're causing all sorts of massive health problems there as well. But when I talk about this, it just becomes a big joke. Even though I can show you a stack of studies that it's making not just frogs, not just fish, but also mammals try to have sex with the same species. Now, the globalists know exactly what they're doing. And it turns out they've got white papers out in the 60s admitting this whole plan. So you see the feminization of men, and you go out in public everywhere, and the men act more like women than women do, and are all scrawny and chicken-necked and have lisping voices. And you say, what the hell happened here? Well, it's been a chemical warfare program. So that's out of Rutgers University. Here's another one. Researchers working on food-based treatments to slow aging. Science Daily goes into a whole bunch of foods that are known to actually work better than drugs at slowing aging and helping people. Well, yeah, what do you think's in them? That's what gets taken out of those foods and put into supplements. Medicines pose global environmental risk, experts warn. Yahoo News, French news agency, massive runoff. And the UN's even admitting this, in the global food chain is causing all sorts of human sicknesses, animal, plant sicknesses, including, quote, making the frogs gay. The male frogs want to have sex with male frogs, and there's no babies, and the frogs die. It's cute when the humans all die. I know we're bad, need to go away, but this is happening, ladies and gentlemen, across species. Antidepressants in the water are making shrimp suicidal. Chemicals in the water alter gender of fish. CBS News. Prozac pollution, again, making animals commit suicide. It's designed to. Now, let's get into the facts here. You need to filter your water with high-quality water filtration systems. We have the best, highest-rated gravity systems from ProPure and Alexa Pure at InfoWarsStore.com. David Hogg calls it a conspiracy theory that I say the water's got toxins in it, you better filter it, and then I sell water filters. That'd be like if you were about to go gold prospecting, you got off a ship from San Francisco in Alaska in the summer, you're about to go inland for the next year and try to find gold. I'd say, you better buy some really thick clothing and the right boots and everything, or you're going to die. You better get a high-powered rifle because there's brown bear and white bear up there that'll eat your ass. And yes, I'm here selling you products. Absolutely. Like, hey, you may need gasoline in your gas tank and water in your water tank before you try to drive across, say, Death Valley. Yes, I'd have a gas station right at the entrance to it, and I'd say, better fill up on water and gas and get some cold Coca-Cola while you're at it. Yes, exactly. Or if I live by a lake and I own a shop selling fishing lures, I'd want to sell the best fishing lures because I want you to buy from me because you need it if you're going fishing. So what are the benefits of CoQ10? And I'm going to get more into this in the coming days. And you look at this information. from up above with the camera, and you can see what are the benefits of CoQ10, ladies and gentlemen. And then it goes over it all right here. People that have heart attacks, it makes the tissue grow back. PQQ, all of it. This is what's in DNA Force Plus, and it's what counteracts so much of what's going on. Generate fresh mitochondria with PQQ. That's out of major studies. Go read it. And it goes on and on and on. And that's how we fund ourselves with the best formula of PQQ and CoQ10 that you're going to find out there absolutely anywhere in DNA Force Plus. And then it's got a bunch of other known natural ingredients that supercharge the PQQ and the CoQ10 and get it across the cellular membrane levels into your cells and into your brain. When you research CoQ10 and PQQ particularly, it's known to regrow mitochondria in the brain cells when nothing else will. And yes, you could eat 50 crates of blueberries to get the same amount of these compounds you'll get in DNA Force, but you can't do that, can you? DNA Force Plus, InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off right now, store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points. Everyone needs DNA Force Plus. Everyone needs to understand that we didn't just warn you about all this before it was mainstream news. We told you about PQQ before it was all the rage 5 years ago. Now it's all the rage because we knew it was already all the rage in Japan 20 years ago or 15 years ago. This is it. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. It's your purchase of these products that make the broadcast possible. Okay, let's shift gears now and go to Robert Barnes. Robert, what is your view? What is your take on what we saw happen to Roger Stone on Friday? And I mean, I know you're concerned about it and what's happened to the judicial system.
I mean, it's terrifying. There is a report out today by apparently by Michael Caputo on Twitter that they've identified one of the key jurors in the case as being a former Democratic candidate for Congress who had prior experience as a jury foreman. It's not clear whether or not that information was known to Stone's defense. What's problematic is this is what arises when a judge orders a jury's identities to stay secret. It's what happens when former Obama prosecutors threaten people like yourself with arrest and criminal prosecution for merely talking about potential issues of juror bias. It's what happens when the media smears anyone like they did you for talking about issues of jury bias. It's the reason why courts have generally said jurors' identities should not be anonymous. They're public officials taking governmental action on behalf of the broader populace, and often it requires their identities be fully disclosed so that independent grassroots investigators can do their own investigation as to whether or not there was any misrepresentations in the jury selection process, whether or not there was jury bias in the jury selection process, whether or not Roger Stone was tried by an impartial and fair jury. It appears at this juncture that Roger Stone did not receive the benefits of an impartial, fair jury in violation of his Sixth Amendment rights to the U.S. Constitution. But right now, the only likely remedy he will receive is if the president takes action on this and pardons him, as he should, to correct the imbalance in our criminal justice system.
The left is already calling for my arrest, we confirmed in Friday's hearing. We'll talk about that some as well, because this is just really, really getting out of control. And they're also saying Trump better not pardon Stone because it'll show Russia collusion. He was indicted, as you know, and convicted on process crimes, nothing to do with Russia. So that hoax is falling apart as well. Robert Barnes is our guest. He'll be joined in the next segment by Tyler Nixon. That's Stone's personal lawyer and confidant, not a lawyer on the case. That's critical to understand because he would be silenced if he was. Robert Barnes is a smart lawyer, friend of mine, also a historian of Americana, and we're going to get back into the really frightening conviction of Roger Stone, the sickening celebrations by the left and others about it, and we're going to get his lawyer on here in just a moment, Tyler Nixon, and talk about the course the president really has to take on this is very, very clear. But separately, what do you make of Bill Maher, we talked about during the break, we're aware of it, and Obama and others saying, we don't want a civil war. America needs to come together. This is dangerous. when the big foundations and big money that they work for, they know damn well have been orchestrating this divide and conquer and this attempt at race war and sex war and class war. Why do you think with 351 days out from the election, they're putting this out officially everywhere so they can have plausible deniability when the violence they've already sown the seeds for comes to fruition and germinates? Or is it because they're planting false flags and want to distance themselves ahead of that? I mean, because this is clearly a talking point they're putting out.
No doubt. I mean, I think there's been a weaponization of the legal system and institutional sources of power, whether it be the deep state's attempt at a second coup through their bogus impeachment instigation, or what you've seen in courts from D.C. to San Francisco just this week. So you had Attorney General Barr speaking about how the courts are being weaponized in a politicized, partisan way and issuing orders that they had never issued before. And that's what Attorney General Barr was talking about. Then in the same week, we see a criminal trial that makes a mockery out of the criminal justice system in the prosecution and conviction of Roger Stone. And we see a parallel prosecution that's politically motivated by Planned Parenthood in a civil suit in the Northern District of California, ordering undercover journalists to pay close to $1 million simply for exposing the truth about what Planned Parenthood and its associated groups were part of. When that's happening, the institutional threat to conservatives and to those on the right is reaching a level that's being paralleled by the politically motivated violence by groups like Antifa and others calling for it, that suggests the left will lose control over the tiger that they're riding. As the old statement back at the time of the revolution, he said, always be careful about riding a tiger, that the tiger doesn't eat you in the process. Talking about the key needs of maintaining and sustaining the revolutionary troops in a way that they didn't lose control over time, in the way the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution both exposed when they ultimately ate their own. And so I think members of what I would call the institutional left, which Obama represents, which Bill Maher to a large degree represents, realize the dangers of unleashing the leftist violence in such a way when they're doing it at an institutional level, suppressing conservatives across the board in the legal space, that's going to backfire in a way that they can't control or contain. And I think they've let the young left out in a way that's going to be hard to pull back or withdraw. And they're seeing it from the radicalization of positions taken by before identified moderate Democratic candidates for the presidency. They're seeing it in the courts are going so far that everybody can see what's happening is political and partisan. And ultimately, like take for example, the institutional power of the courts. That power is heavily predicated on the public's belief that the court systems are being fair and applying the rule of law and being impartial and apolitical. When you have cases like Roger Stone, where the defendant is gagged, where a jury selection appears to be rigged in favor of the Democratic side of the aisle and to lynch him effectively, where things are kept secret and anonymous from the public so that they can't engage in their Democratic.
When they put the wife of a Mueller probe lawyer on the jury and we expose it and they call for our arrest, it just shows they will try anything. You're absolutely right. I want to bring Tyler Nixon in here. Who is, of course, a family friend and personal lawyer of Stone, not his lawyer in the criminal trial, though he was there for the almost 2 weeks of it. I know you've learned a lot since then. I know you've talked to others and what you can talk about now. We talked briefly earlier today via text. You said that it's just incredible, the misjustice and the things that went on. Can you chronicleize that for us? And then we'll come back and flesh more of it out with Robert Barnes with us, Tyler Nixon, about just quantify, sum up kind of the rap sheet of here of what you saw.
Sure. Well, Bob Barnes is spot on as always. He really just talked about how, the left does not care at this point what goes down in flames or what institutions, core fundamental human rights they violate and begin to erode. If they don't have power, they'd rather burn it all down. Now, as a libertarian, hey, burn it, take it all with you as far as I'm concerned. But, there's a lot of victims in the process, as we know from history, from 100 millions dead over the 20th century. But
exactly. So Obama realizes, bully people on colleges, Antifa hit women in the head with bike locks. But now that they're trying to arrest and intimidate Congress, I mean, I think Obama feels the rumblings that they haven't scared us. It didn't intimidate us, that it's pissing people off and that we're organizing.
Yeah, and I think you both of you would understand that when they're engaging in the type of just absolute hypocrisy, openly, accusing. I mean, the Biden situation with the Ukraine call and him, having the prosecutor removed, and then Trump trying to investigate that suddenly becomes, obstruction of justice when they can openly do the same behavior and they're righteous and we're criminals for it. Then you're really getting skating to the edge of the system being just an outright.
Well, but let's be clear, Tyler, it's not the same thing. Trump said he's going after corruption under a treaty. That's his job. Biden saying, I said, fire that son of a bitch. You don't get $1 billion. He was fired a few hours later. That's open pissing on our face, criminal peacocking break our will.
No, you're right. You actually put a finer point on it, because really Biden's criminality compared to Trump's, seeking actual justice and seeking investigation is, Biden's excused, Trump's a criminal. So again, here's the standard. When Democrats commit crimes, it's just politics. When Republicans do politics, it's crime. And that's exactly what the standard they want to have going forward. So, they can do anything they want. Adam Schiff can do what he did on the Intelligence Committee, which is play games, leak things. He can violate the rules along with his fellow Democrat
members. Yeah, they're running around naked like pirates with their hair on fire. So we're going to come back to you on the other side, Nixon. I want to get into Stone's trial, what you can reveal, course of action here, and what you witnessed in there. But Barnes, I think there's a realization in the establishment that they've gotten out of control themselves and that they're going to lose. I think they've irrevocably damaged the deep state by revealing themselves, and I don't think they can ever put it back together again.
Oh, that's the beauty of the election of President Trump, is that it unveiled and revealed and forced the deep state to come out of operation, forced the media to expose the scale and scope and severity of their bias, forced the leftist and the judiciary to reveal the degree to which they would rule in openly partisan and politicized ways. So I think that's the beauty and brilliance of Trump, whatever anyone thinks of him, is that he exposes the opposition for who they are and what they are. And I think people like Obama, who's an institutional leftist, recognizes that this is problematic. That Trump is, in fact, winning the long-term public relations debate. The left is being exposed in a radicalized
way. That's right. Obama's like, we already had America tied up in a basement, raping the hell out of it like the children we kidnapped. Literally. Why have we done this to Trump? It's only opening up. We got kids in the basement here. We had this country on its frickin' knees. We're going to take our time sucking its blood like $65,000 worth of hot dogs. Obama gets delivered to his hotel room. Those aren't hot dogs, folks. Those are male prostitutes, which is fine. At least you're not into children. We know, like Hillary and Bill are. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got one more segment with our guests, then I'm going to get into the control grid. Really, what the internet really is. At really a fascinating level. But constitutional lawyer, criminal lawyer, Robert Barnes, looking in from the outside, studying the news of what's happening. And then we've got Tyler Nixon, who was there for the trial. I wanted to ask Tyler, because I know I diverted us off into all the Civil War talk and the Attorney General talking about how there's a civil war within the government to try to stop the executive branch and the election and the will of the people, which we've been saying, obviously, for 3+ years. It's just incredible to have all this out in the open now, and that's a whole other discussion we should have. And I'll get a brief comment from both of you in a moment, but laser beaming in on Roger and his ongoing gag order and all the things that have happened, and the judge attempting to extend that gag order to me to not talk about the jurors she was putting on there that are obviously should be disqualified because of conflicts. Other things that you can talk about and that you witnessed during this kangaroo event, Tyler Nixon. All right, we probably lost Nixon there. That's fine. Let's get to Robert Barnes' take on that. Robert, continuing, you heard those questions. I mean, people are shocked by this. They're angry.
Well, I think what people witnessed is how the criminal justice system operates in politicized cases. But mostly those cases are usually kept below the political radar. So in cases like tax protester cases or other cases like that, you see some of this politically motivated justice where you see a different set of rules than you would see that are supposed to be applied and that are applied for everyone else. But here it was just high profile. I think what scares members of the institutional left is it's just so obvious. I mean, first they gag Roger Stone to prevent him from defending himself in the court of public opinion. Then they have a secret jury selection process that keeps people from knowing who is being selected and whether the people being selected are biased and not impartial as they're supposed to be under the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And then they see the way in which the verdict completely and just complete convictions of everybody. On everything in terms of Roger Stone, and question whether that was really a thoughtful, thorough jury or a jury that had made up its mind before it even took the stand or took jury participation. So it's that aggregate, even though there was testimony at the trial that appeared to exculpate Stone. And then after that, you see members of the media, including John McCain's daughter and others, celebrating this. Chank Uger at Young Turks talking about 50-year prison sentences. So even people that say that they're worried about overcriminalization in the United States, people who worry about rapists and murderers getting prison sentences, suddenly celebrate potential life sentences for people like Roger Stone based on whether or not he properly remembered something in a question in a politicized inquiry that had nothing to do with this substantive content of that inquiry. So it shows it reveals the scope and scale to which a politicized trial takes place in the United States that sort of makes a mockery out of what our criminal system is supposed to be. So every aspect of it, the fact that it was tried in a venue that was known to have jurors hostile to Roger Stone and unlikely to be impartial, the way jury selection itself went, the gag order throughout the process, and then threats to members of the media by other members of the media, by former Obama-era prosecutors, some of them high-ranking prosecutors, demanding criminal investigations and arrests of anyone who questioned it or challenged it. These are Stasi-style tactics that even the Stasi wouldn't publicly announce. Soviet-style trials that even the Soviet Union would be ashamed to have publicly displayed in this manner. And then when it's compounded by what happened in San Francisco, where someone for exposing the truth about Planned Parenthood-related organizations gets fined effectively close to $1 million, where a judge apparently basically instructed the jury on questions that really should have been jury questions, reveals the scope and scale to which the politicized judiciary, the weaponized legal system, is being used to suppress conservatives, suppress conservative thought, and punish conservatives for merely being conservative in this country. And the disparity and duality of the two-tier justice system, where we've yet to see a criminal prosecution of any deep state member involved in corruption and collusion, yet to see a prosecution of either Clapper or Brennan or these other people that have been caught lying to Congress repeatedly. Yet to see a prosecution of anybody connected to the Clinton Foundation of New York, while the same prosecutor's office is harassing the president on his tax returns in ways that have
they no believe relationship. They believe they're safe because they know about all the crimes that other deep state operatives have been involved in, and they think they're too corrupt to fail, too big to fail, and they've held the nation hostage for so long, they have to be indicted. They have to get in trouble. I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat as well, and I think we are rapidly approaching those points. I'm not going to engage any violence, and I don't like, you know, elements that are pro-America in the deep state doing that, but that is historically, without letting them cause a huge uproar to the country or the stock market, you know, at a certain point, these individuals would start having canoeing accidents and, you know, or falling down, you know, falling off their yacht, falling into the swimming pool in the backyard. I mean, they're the ones calling for the president's death, civil war, murder. They're the ones pushing everyone towards the collapse of civilization. And we just sit there while they punch us in the nose over and over again, paralyzed by the fact that we're America and we're not a banana republic. Well, they've taken us to the banana republic zone. And I think they're starting to get the pucker factor, realizing that this is a game of chicken and we're not backing off, and they've really already discredited themselves, and it's going to be very explosive. Thank you for joining us. Robert Barnes, talk to you again soon. God bless.
Happy Great. To be here.
Thank you. I want to finish up now. I think Tyler's Skype might have cut out. Tyler Nixon, Stone's personal lawyer, not a lawyer on this case, but he was there. Just in a few minutes, tell us about the trial itself, any concerns you had, and then where this is going and when technically it's proper time for the president to pardon Stone. I mean, would that be right after the sentencing in February?
Okay, I hope I can get more in a minute here. The time is now for the president to issue a pardon on the for Mr. Stone. He could have issued a pardon before this went down. There would have been no conviction. So, you know, he's sitting on his hands, and I'm really upset with the president, frankly, for letting this get as far as it's gotten. This is a kangaroo lynch mob show trial that went on in Washington, D.C. And it's the most disgusting abuse of power I've seen in my entire legal career. And I was very intimate with the case. I wasn't on the team representing Mr. Stone. But let me tell you something, Roger. Before we even got to the courthouse, they issued, or the government filed and was granted, of course, motions in limine, which eliminate the ability to introduce evidence. And some of that evidence, two of the key points, where we could not discuss in any way whatsoever Russian collusion or anything to do with the investigation of the so-called Russian, the Russian collusion hoax. We could not even bring up evidence as to how that was fake and false and a hoax. That was totally excluded, and worse, they excluded us from even discussing in any way whatsoever, bringing up in evidence, any government corruption or anything that went on in the investigation itself. Meaning, if we discovered bias, such as Jeannie Rhee, the lead investigator that, you know, led to this, who was the Clinton Foundation attorney, all the political implications involved with those people, the, you know, the total one-sidedness. Now you have Andrew Weissman, this criminal, as far as I'm concerned, you know, just attorney and who's been working in the Department of Justice as a like some sort of stalking hitman behind the scenes, and is now an MSNBC legal analyst. Boy, that didn't take long. Literally, the day Roger Stone has gets convicted in a DC jury, a DC court, excuse me, by a DC jury with a 94% Democratic or non-Republican registration, let's just say, and we could not introduce evidence of any of this type of stuff. It was excluded at the outset. And I just find that totally outrageous. Why would they have a problem with any airing of any type of issues of corruption or bias? And then we saw the judge go on to do that with the jury, where she was just accepting jurors who said, yeah, oh, no, I'm with, you know, I worked for, I was Obama's, you know, well, we know what went on there. But basically, this is just this Weissman guy. He was on there bashing Republicans, literally giving strategy on how they should have, you know, how they basically, you know, messed up by not saying certain things that would protect them from the Democrats' phony assaults. And this guy is now an MSNBC legal analyst. He was just on the Mueller team. I mean, talk about like just they don't even care anymore.
Tyler Nixon, you're absolutely right. Thank you at Tyler Nixon on Twitter. God bless you. We'll come back with the really big news on the other side about the nature of the control grid and how to stop it on this live Sunday edition. Please stay with us. Welcome, my friends, to the last segment of the broadcast. I want to thank you all for tuning in on this Sunday show and for being active participants in really trying to stop the globalist, transhumanist, post-human project. And we spend a lot of time looking at the battles that go on and the political fights. But really, it comes down to, are you for a pro-human future or an anti-human future? Now, here's what's frustrating about all this. The internet and what it was set up to do has been public really since it was set up. And it was a Manhattan Project-style program that conservatively has had, I'd have to say, 1,000 times is a conservative number, the amount of money and human energy has been put into. Because it very intelligently built along the telegraph and electricity model, got people to buy into it and pay money to it as a utility to build the structure. But it's a utility that tracks and watches and controls everything you do, and that can then also cut you off or rip you off by knowing who you are, where you're going, and what you're doing in a really a billion different ways is a conservative number. It's really limitless. One example is, I remember we learned about this 15 years ago, and nobody believed us for about 5 years, that major travel sites would have cookies and would know that you had money or didn't have money and would change prices accordingly. And maybe they know you're wealthy, but a spendthrift, they'll give you low prices if they know you're going to go somewhere else, and then they'll share that data with companies. Or they, if they know you're wealthy and will spend a lot, they'll gouge you. Or let's say you're poor, but it'll still spend a lot, vice versa. So I could talk for a million years about this, but more and more I'm going to cover all of this in greater detail. Because opposing the globalist infrastructure and realizing the larger plan is key. Now look, I'm not some hypocrite up here and not going to say that we don't have Google Analytics hooked up and cookies and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the master plan of what it was set up to do and the directive and then what the internet is evolving into. It was designed to evolve into that. And there's a direction, there's a trajectory of this. So here's the Internet Hall of Fame, C.J.R. Licklider, who created it. And he wanted, basically, for psychiatrists to be able to track everything you do in live time, be able to put out propaganda, and then see how the propaganda manipulated you so they could change the propaganda in live time and track and trace and surveil you. And they wanted a network of computers down to handheld computers that would interface with the computers. And then they would basically control all of society as a neural network interfacing with humans. So this is a human-machine interface that has already created an artificially intelligent system because it's got billions of nodes plugged into human brains. You understand, it is a supercomputer, but it's biological, hooked into silicon. Let's continue. Untold History of AI, the DARPA Dreamer Who Aimed for Cyborg Intelligence. J.C.R. Licklider. And he obviously a pretty smart feller. And it's all been done. Called the Intergalactic Computer Network. Now, what is Facebook? How do they get everybody to opt in to Google and Facebook, all created by the NSA and DARPA and InQtel? This is not my opinion. It's like saying Ford was started by Henry Ford or Edison was started by Edison. And, you know, Graham Bell by Alexander Graham Bell. I mean, or Marconi discovered radio frequency and all that. I mean, it's a fact. Tesla, you know, wireless. Is Facebook using your phone's camera and microphone to spy on you? Infowars.com 2017. Now, really, we went back further than that. But they talk to us like we're children. They talk to us like we're children. But they needed to get you to opt into a system that wasn't just the NSA. They needed to be private so they could say, oh, well, you opted into it. Because you'd get mad if the NSA was doing that. But then Facebook is the node, is the clearinghouse set up by the CIA and DARPA so that you put all your info on it so then everybody else shares it so it hooks into all the other wireless devices and systems from your smart TV to Netflix to your toaster to your smart refrigerator to your smart meter. All of this is for total control. And so then we tell you this is happening before they ever even launch Facebook. And you go, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, just because we're reading what the engineers said they were setting up 60-plus years ago. So we're just guilty of being informed. So now here they are years later. Facebook lets tons of companies get info about you, including Amazon, Netflix, and Microsoft. And if you have their apps, Facebook is getting in control. And if you have that app but not their apps, it's all the same thing. It's all the same people at the end of the day. That's why all the architecture is merging together. Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Apple, they're all building, quote, smart cities that totally control you. And they're going to be tax exempt and have their own governances soon. Facebook gave Spotify and Netflix access to users' private messages. See all these articles? Facebook app secretly assessing iPhone users' cameras. This came out Friday and they go, oh, it's okay. It's just a bug. It's all accidental that we're videotaping you. Yeah, right. Facebook app secretly accesses people's cameras as they read newsfeed. Independent reporting. The smart ecosystem. People found out about the secret Google's takeover plan in Toronto. So now they call it environmental. So no one's allowed to say it's bad, even though it's a total control grab. Nothing to do with the environment. But now they're like, don't worry, we'll surveil you and make sure your carbon footprint goes down. Oh, surveil me. Oh, thank you. And they're finding all this 5G hidden in everything. We first reported on 5G in 2001. And that's what they put in the lamppost all over the U.S., all over the world. They've got DARPA-funded separate cell towers to grab all your data. And again, we told you all this first. The Smart City Ecosystem Framework. Fears 5G weapon system on UK streets after conspiracy theorist takes apart. Okay, so a police officer that's upset gives him the light. They break it open. It's got 5G. It's got cameras. It's got surveillance. But this is in the Daily Star. But the individual that did this, who we're going to get on the show, he's the bad guy for doing it, even though they admit it's all real and they're doing it. And stealing all your data. New streetlights to have homeland security applications. Paul Joseph Watson, 2011. And we specifically expose all of it and how it's got 5G and how it steals all your data and how it has hidden cameras and everything else. Smart streetlights to track everything we do all the time. That's InfoWars a few years later, 2014. The future of sci-fi lampposts. A few years later, they tell you about it. London Guardian. Chicago seeking smart city tech solutions. And it goes through it. Then they admit there's a major studies here that it's giving you cancer and that 5G kills you even faster. But they just call it conspiracy theory, so it's okay. Now they announce, forget 5G, they're now rolling out 6G. Then it's 7G, 8G, 9G, 10G. It gives you brain cancer, kills plants that are around it. They don't care. It's all just out in the open. So what am I getting at here? This is a planned computer machine interface takeover that kills biological life as it unfolds. They have wired internet that's 1,000 times faster than 5G. They don't care because fiber optic doesn't hurt anybody and can't give you cancer. This is all done so you can't escape it, so that they can energize all the devices and track and control you. And like Promethean fire, they just give us this stuff and think we can't help but run home and use it and kill ourselves, kill our children while we surveil ourselves and pay the device companies and the wireless companies for the pleasure of them slowly killing us. We pay for our own destruction. So they get us to opt into it. And then biological life will become impossible by the time it hits about 10G, the studies say. I mean, you'll talk about half the people you know will be dying of cancer at that point. Miscarriages, total death. But that's okay because they're going to have uploads into the machine interface, they're going to tell you. And that is the admitted plan, by the way, to make biological life impossible. There'll be a new form of life, they say. Of course, none of this is going to happen. The last level of the con is it's a satanic, exterminist, post-human, scientists would call it alien program. It's a transmission sent to tell us how to kill ourselves. And the establishment wants the alien technology to be able to live forever, they believe. So they're buying into the plan, believing that the aliens are actually going to let them upload to machines and live forever. They have themselves been totally conned because they're so enamored with the interdimensionals that they're in contact with that we call demons, they call aliens. That's the big secret, and I told you all this years before it came out, and now I'm telling you that this is how the aliens hit us, and that's how they're doing it. They're putting up systems that will kill all biological life on Earth while they're spraying us with all the chemicals that are killing everybody else as well, and this is it. I want to say great job to the crew. Hopefully I'll be back tomorrow, live 11 a.m. Central. David Knight is at 8 a.m., and more shows at band.video. Thank you.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.